All right. Thank you, everyone, for attending my presentation today on RE Royalties. My name is Bernard Tan, and I am the CEO and co-founder of the company. RE Royalties is the first royalty company focused entirely on the renewable and sustainable energy sector. Our ticker symbol is RE on the TSX Venture Exchange and RROYF on the OTCQX. Before I begin, I'm sure you've seen a lot of this today, so just some forward-looking statements. Please refer to our regulatory filings for the details of it. Our financial statements are also prepared in Canadian dollars, so a lot of the currency that I'll be using today is the Canadian dollar. My presentation will cover a couple things: quick overview of the history of the company, why we're doing what we're doing, our existing portfolio and financial performance, and what does the next 12 months look like. The vision and objective of the company is quite simple. Really, it's a 50-50 equation of make our investors money and do good for the environment. I think it's quite cliche, but really that's what we do. That's what we've always done. How we do that is we effectively acquire a portfolio of royalties across different companies, projects, jurisdictions, technologies, so that we can build a nice growing cash flowing portfolio of long-term royalties that will pay to our shareholders and also bondholders. What we aim to do is really to achieve the trifecta of investing, which is a strong yield, high growth, and clean energy. Being a shareholder or bondholder of RE means you have exposure and an interest in a portfolio, a basket of diversified clean energy projects. Just a little bit of background. We have been a publicly listed company on the TSX Venture Exchange for roughly about 5.5 years now. The business model was really started. We saw the opportunity to apply a well-proven business model, that has been utilized in the resource, mining, oil and gas, pharmaceuticals, music. Really, this royalty model is used in many industries, except for renewables. So we really saw that opportunity to take something innovative, establish, and really move it to a sector that has never seen it before. Lots of parallels in terms of exponential growth that we saw at very similar to Silver Wheaton Precious Metals, Franco-Nevada, in sort of the early 2000s, and we saw sort of that high growth period. Similar to the sector itself, which I'll talk a little bit later, it's a huge macro opportunity. It's one of those once in a lifetime generational opportunities when it comes to the sector. To date, we've raised close over 70 million and invested that into a portfolio of royalties of solar, wind, renewable natural gas, energy storage, efficiency, across Canada and US primarily, but we also have some investments in Mexico and Chile. We are also a very growth-oriented company. Globe and Mail has recognized us as one of Canada's top growing companies. And since going public, we've realized year-over-year compound revenue growth rates of roughly about 63% over the last 5 years. We currently have about 20 million of cash on hand, so lots of capital. We are, not looking to raise any more equity in the near term. So we have that treasury available to execute on opportunities, which we feel will continue to grow that top line and bottom line for our shareholders. Three members of our team have also been nationally recognized and awarded the Clean 50 Award over the past few years. So again, a team that is there that is able to capitalize and execute on the opportunities we find. One of the important criteria as well is that a lot of our investments meet the UN sustainable goals in terms of impact in generating clean energy. So, I think a lot of There's a lot of chatter out there about greenwashing. This is one company that does not greenwash because that is our DNA. As I mentioned, to date, we've invested across 23 different transactions, you know, made $72 million in investments. We currently own a portfolio of 115 royalties in wind, solar, hydro, RNG, and energy storage, and also energy efficiency. In terms of dollar value, approximately 40% of the investments are in solar. So that's our primary sort of technology bucket. About 25% are in batteries, 13% in wind, 10% in efficiency, 9% in renewable natural gas, and about 3% in hydro. These royalties have a remaining life of between anywhere between 10 to 30 years, depending on the individual royalties. And if we stopped you know, everything today, these royalties would generate roughly about $26 million in new cash flows with zero related costs. To date, our investment portfolio has generated an IRR of roughly about 19% on an unlevered basis. And in terms of geographic concentration, mostly Canada and U.S. We were a little bit high in the U.S., but one of our clients, you know, early repaid us back earlier this year, so that's always a nice thing. So we are now looking to get the Canada and U.S. level a little bit more equal. In terms of our investments in Canada, we have projects and royalties that span across BC, Alberta, Ontario, and Nova Scotia. I won't go into this detail because there's a lot of information here. This is sort of our, you know, to sort of take an investment banking sort of analogy, this is the tombstones of everything, the 23 transactions that we've done. A couple of things to point out. The ultimate payer of these royalties are really, you know, the column on the right, and you can see the types of customers that effectively provide sort of the revenue streams to our clients, which then provide the royalties. So you can see groups like Hydro One, BC Hydro, which are large, well-capitalized utilities, highly credit, good credit-rated companies that really feed the source of our royalties. In terms of the financial information itself, you know, in terms of the column to the left, we sort of trade between that 45 to 49 cents per share, sort of in the last, you know, 2 weeks or so. We have roughly about 43 million shares outstanding, so our market cap on any given day is roughly about 20 million. We have some warrants outstanding, but not a lot, and also same with options. So the ownership of the company is also quite tight. Insider ownership is roughly about 25%. Most of our investors are family office accredited investors that really like sort of that yield, but also that sort of green aspect. We do have some a few larger institutional investors as well, like pension funds and larger funds. In terms of the financial information, you know, as of the end of June, we have roughly about 13 million. As of today, we have about 20 million, and part of that is mainly due to some green bonds that we've issued and closed in the last month, but also repayments from our clients, which is always a great thing. If you look at sort of the right chart, we became a public company at the tail end of 2018. And really in the last 5 years, we focused on building the company and growing the company. The sort of turquoise column is our revenues. So we were able to grow our revenues from roughly slightly over $1 million. And as of the last financial year, we were sort of around $9.5 million in terms of revenues. So you can see that that annual compound growth rate of the transactions that we've completed and really the financial performance now being reflected has really continued on that upward trajectory. One of the nice things about operating a royalty-based company is the cost. Growing the top line doesn't mean we need to grow the cost at the same rate. And you can see that's really one of the beauties that we've been able to accomplish. And it creates a significant amount of margin, which we use to effectively pay the dividend and also to service our green bonds. Sort of round numbers, if you look at sort of 2023, on an operating cost perspective, we're paying roughly about $2.7 million. Green bond interest, we pay about $2.8 million vis-a-vis almost $10 million in revenue. So significant cash flow that we can use to help service the dividend, which is currently at a 8.5% yield, so quite attractive, but also room and extra capital for a variety of reinvestment or looking at other alternatives as well. So a large source of our financing comes from the green bond market. The green bond market has been extremely supportive over the last 3 to 4 years. And what this green bond market is effectively a plain vanilla bond. The term of the bond is typically 5 years. We've been issuing it since 2021, roughly about $10 million-$20 million, per year. And really, a lot of the investors are looking for that sort of fixed income. The other component of it is really the impact and the green impact. Earlier this year, we got our bond certified, which effectively, by S&P Global Ratings. So S&P issues an opinion on really what type of impact does your bonds provide, how green is green, because there's a wide methodology of how environmental professionals look at. And really, we received the highest rating, which is sort of the dark green under sort of their shades of green methodology. And you can see really what the impact is on a portfolio basis. So on an equivalency perspective, 420 megawatts of capacity, enough energy to power over 136 homes and remove almost 429,000 tons of CO2 per year. So that checks a lot of boxes, which has really been allowed us to, because we meet so many of the UN Sustainable Goals criteria, been able to help lower some of the costs of our financing. We currently have roughly about $40 million in debt outstanding or issued. Our cost of capital is about 7%. So it's a very reasonable cost, which we're able to then deploy and acquire new royalties on. In terms of our deal pipeline, we look at roughly about $1 billion, that's with a B, a year. A lot of that screening, I would say, gets sensitized down to more detailed evaluation. About 20% gets through. And of that 20%, we get to term sheets with roughly 20% of that too. So currently, we have roughly about $40 million in term sheets issued to a number of different clients at various stages. Not all of the $40 million goes through, typically, for whatever reasons, because our clients can't hit certain CPs or there are project delays. But generally, we have enough deal flow to continue to grow our business and utilize that $20 million of cash that's sitting on our balance sheet. I won't go into the individual deals themselves, but you can see that it varies and it's very reflective of our current portfolio, such as utility solar in Northeast United States, solar in Western Canada, some energy storage. So it's pretty much the same things that we've done over and over. And a lot of times, these are existing clients as well. So I think one of the things we're really proud of is how, when we do one deal with a client, they come back for more. And I think that speaks to the strength of the relationship that we have with our clients, one of which is actually in the audience right now, Sunita. It really sort of speaks to the fact that it is a win-win relationship that we're seeking with our clients to be able to help them grow, and then our deal flow gets also grows with them as well. I'll briefly talk about the market opportunity itself. Essentially, how big is the renewable markets? In short, it's massive. It's bigger than oil and gas. It's bigger than mining. You can see, just based on the chart, the bar chart on the right, over $1 trillion, and that's with a T, was invested in the energy transition in 2023. So it's accelerating. However, the one aspect of this market being immensely huge is how do average investors participate? And you'll find that if you look on the TSX, the size of the clean tech, the renewable market is very small. I think right now it only is about 1.5%. So for the average investor to be able to participate in this energy transition economy that's growing very quickly, there's not a lot of names out there to be able to buy, not like mining, not like oil and gas, not like financials. So what we're hoping to do as well, and one of our objectives is really to democratize that ability for any investor, whether you're a pension fund, whether you are a tradesperson, whether you are a portfolio manager, whether you're a student, and we have all of those in our shareholder base, to be able to invest how much, as much as you want or as little as you want. And really coming back to sort of the vision of the company, we are creating a company that owns a basket of diversified cash flowing clean energy projects. The renewable market, in essence, isn't really an energy play. I think sometimes when we hear analysts talk about renewables, fundamentally at the very heart of renewables, it's a technology play. Over time, the efficiencies of the various technologies have seen the same rate of cost decrease, Moore's Law, as computers, as laptops over time. And really, we're continuing to see this repeat across jurisdictions. Energy solar panels are more efficient today than they were 2, 3 years ago. They continue to get cheaper and cheaper. We continue to see more and more of that. So the energy transition economy is moving. Bloomberg estimates that by 2030, these technologies will really undercut the way that energy gets produced and distributed across the world. And it's going to be a lot cheaper and more competitive than historical energy sources. So how do we take advantage of this? And how do we, as RE Royalties, the company, invest on behalf of our shareholders? First and foremost, we only focus on renewable and sustainable energy. So there are a lot of other players out there that invest in oil and gas, royalty companies that do that, different sort of minerals and so forth. We only do renewables and clean tech. Part of that is because we want to be able to keep that highest rating for our green bonds. But also part of that is we want to be a pure play because it's, again, it's part of our DNA. The projects need to have the ability to offset greenhouse gases. So again, we only look at solar, wind, technologies that are already in place. We don't invest in new technologies. We like commercially proven technology. We pay a dividend, as I mentioned, so we cannot take that. We're not as patient to wait for that technology to reach sort of commercial viability. We have a bias for projects that are operating or near operating with revenue offtakes, and part of that is we like cash flow. When we screen things, we look at things, it's all based on cash flow. Can our client, service these cash flows on the royalties, the interest payments? Our target IRRs tend to be in the 10% to 20% range. Historically, we've hit much higher IRRs. To date, our portfolio is roughly generating about 19% to date. Typically, we like OECD countries. Canada and US have been our main jurisdictions for investments and will likely continue if you look at sort of where we're targeting our deal flow. In terms of the business model, this is where I would say there's a slight variation from royalty companies in the mining sector or the pharmaceutical pharmaceutical sector or oil and gas sectors. 20% of our portfolio is sort of a royalty, as you know, we all know, you know, we provide a lump sum payment and then we see a stream of cash flows, you know, for, you know, 25 years, 30 years, which is generally sort of the length. But 80% of our portfolio, we actually use, you know, what I would call a private debt component. And there's a reason why we do that. Unlike a mining royalty, which is attached to a mineral right, or a pharmaceutical royalty, which is attached to a IP intellectual property, you can't attach a right to solar. The sun, you know, is everywhere, same with wind. So the way that we look at security on our investments is really to utilize that debt-like structure that allows us to secure our rights to the underlying project. So what we typically do, and this is sort of the chart to the right, is we will typically lend, say, to a client, say, you know, pick a number, $1 million. We will charge interest on that $1 million, typically somewhere between 12 to 14%. So we will get paid an interest for that capital. In 2 to 3 years' time, that capital gets repaid back. We typically also have a royalty. Sometimes we don't actually even pay for the royalty. The royalty comes as part of the deal. So we have this royalty that will go on for 20 to 30 years. And then once we get that capital back from our client, we will take that same million and then lend it to client two and create the second royalty. So if you look at that chart, on that same dollar over the course of 20 years, we can create seven different royalties on that same dollar. And that's really the part of the compounding structure that's different, but it also allows us to create that growth curve with our shareholder and bondholders' capital. Won't dive too much. If you've invested in a royalty company, you'll see there are a lot of advantages. You know, obviously, it's top-line focused, so we're sheltered against things like, you know, escalating costs in an inflationary environment. The nice thing about our portfolio as well is we can diversify. We can diversify based on size and really keeping a low-cost structure. You know, for us, that's critical because for every dollar saved, it's a dollar that goes into our shareholders and bondholders. In terms of what we're planning on doing in the next 12 months, first and foremost, put capital to work. So as I mentioned, we have roughly about $40 million in backlog of transactions. They're all in different stages. So, you know, some are much closer, but we do plan, you know, I would say probably in the next 6 months to be able to put all of that to work. Green bond financing. We're currently in the market. You know, we closed a $4.7 million sort of first tranche of the green bonds at the end of last month. We're also looking at co-investing on larger transactions with co-investment partners and really to increase our company profile. Despite being a Vancouver-based, you know, company that was started a couple blocks from here, not many people know about us. So, you know, what we're hoping to do is obviously attend these conferences. And, you know, the last 3 years, we haven't really been too active because obviously you have restrictions on gatherings and so forth. This is our core team. We're a company of nine. There are two analysts here that we haven't put up yet. So, but really, it's a relatively small team. Again, comes back down to being able to sort of manage deal flow. Our board, most of our board members are independent. So again, from a governance standpoint, that is extremely critical to ensure that, you know, our board stays involved, but are acting in the best interest of our shareholders. Again, just a quick recap, you know, thanks for your time, but RE Royalty is really, what we try to do is really to hit that trifecta of being able to deliver a strong yield, strong growth, and also clean energy. We trade on the TSX Venture. We pay a dividend of roughly a penny a quarter. So right now it's about 8.5% from a dividend yield standpoint. And really we have the team to be able to do this and continue to grow accretively and follow the same path that we've established in the last 5 years. So I'll take some questions. Thanks, everyone.
Could you comment on the Altius Renewables sale, the implications on valuation, and how it's seen?
Well, I was kind of hoping someone would ask that question, so thank you. So again, we know the Altius team, great folks to work with. And we did sort of look at the valuation when they went private and some of the values. In particular, just based on the metrics, they don't have as much revenues as we do, even though they're a $300 million market cap. They have a much larger balance sheet. So on sort of a PNAV, forward revenue, it was at a healthy premium. If we were to ascribe that same premium, again, please take this with a grain of salt because math is math. We should be looking at $1.80 front on an equity basis. Again, as a caveat, no one's made that offer. I'm just using their math applied to us. Right, it looks like. Oh.
What merchant exposure do you have? I'm assuming a lot of these projects were underwritten with a PPA attached, but then they go merchant at some point. And if we're bullish on electrons.
Yeah, they do. Most of our have feed-in tariffs or PPAs. Generally, we don't go beyond the PPA contracts because most of them are, 20, 25 years out. And it becomes a bit of a crystal ball, and who knows what prices are, if even those panels will work anymore. So generally, we try not to do that. But that being said, we do have some investments that do have some merchant exposure. And when I say merchant exposure, it's product exposure because we do have a few clients that are in the clean tech space. So it's more about the gear that they sell and can they get a good price on it. I would say that's the merchant as opposed to the electron sort of space. From a trend perspective, we are seeing more projects go the merchant route. We have some in Alberta that we've completed that does have that exposure. And I think part of that is because the forecast or the long-term forecast does predict higher power prices. In the future. And a lot of that is mainly because of a lack of distribution. You can build a large solar or wind project in the middle of nowhere, but try to get that power to population centers, the bottleneck, there's a serious bottleneck. Right. Thank you, everyone.